Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue a teaching series called Uncommon Courage. In these lessons, Rick is going to share biblical inspiration that will help you get the courage you need to follow God's calling for your life. If you'd love to help the kids you know learn God's Word, then stay with us. Because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about God's Big Plans for Me, an easy-to-understand storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called Standing Courageously for the Truth.
If I claim to be a Christian, then I must believe that every single life is sacred. It doesn't matter if they have mental retardation. It doesn't matter if they're severely deformed. Every life is precious. God gave them their life. He'll know when He wants to take them home. God is God, and I'm not. That's not a popular opinion, but it's the truth. And if you're going to courageously stand for the truth, you have to believe in the sanctity of life. Or don't call yourself a Christian, because that's what Jesus taught. That's what every life is valuable from the moment that God planned you, which was before you even popped out of your mom. Now, the next one's even more controversial, and it is the sanctity of sex is part of the Christian worldview. And the sanctity of sex is this: sex, it's real simple, is only for marriage. I don't like that one. I don't like that. Well, I may not like it. It's not my opinion. It's in the owner's manual. Now, let's just remember who thought up sex. It was God's idea. What a God. I mean, what a God. God could have made reproduction with no pleasure attached to it. God created those nerve endings. It was God's idea. And He created it to bond a husband and wife together. When a man and woman have sex together, it releases oxytocin in both of them. That oxytocin is the bonding chemical that binds a husband and wife together. It brings emotional commitment. When a woman nurses a baby, it releases oxytocin in both the mom and in the baby. It is a bonding agent. That's why there's no such thing as casual sex. Because when you have casual sex, it releases oxytocin in you, which is a bonding element. Whether you like it or not, there's a bonding thing. That's why people get hurt, why people get broken hearts, why when people are cheated on, it bothers them. Why? Because it's not just physical. That's nonsense. It's not just physical. It's emotional and it's spiritual. You see, sex isn't bad. Sex isn't dirty. Sex isn't wrong. Sex is holy. And the sanctity of sex is that God designed it for the creation of all of us and to bring husbands and wives together and to be a model of the union between Christ and the church. And I don't have time to go into all the spiritual implications of sex, but let me tell you, they're about that long. It's not just physical. Now, the Bible says this in Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage should be honored by all. Whether you ever get married or not, you need to speak well of marriage. Marriage should be honored by all. Even single people should honor it. And the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Now, this isn't popular, but let me just be clear about it. God's instructions have never changed. Premarital sex, it's unacceptable to God. It always has been. It always will be. Living together without getting married and the commitment of marriage and the blessing of God is unacceptable to God. It always has been. It always will be. Adultery is unacceptable to God. It always has been. It always will be. Pornography and the objectification of a woman's body is unacceptable to God. It always has been. It always will be. I want you to listen to this. Attraction is not a sin. Action is a sin. You can't control all your attractions, but you can control all your actions. I noticed that when I married Kay 37 years ago, I still found other women attractive. Big shock. But I've never acted on them. And Kay Warren is the only woman I've ever known. Attraction is not a sin. Action is a sin. Have I been attracted to other women? Of course. I'm a man. I mean, a real man. I mean, a manly man, okay? A hunk of burning love man, okay? I mean, just, have I been attracted to other women besides my wife? Of course I have. But I don't act on it. Have I ever gotten mad and had an impulse to slug someone in the face? Yes, but I don't act on it. Not everything that I feel like doing, I do. You know, I noticed when we started this Daniel plan that when I started trying to get healthy, I was still attracted to the bad stuff that wasn't good for me. Well, I was expecting all those attractions to go. They didn't. Let me tell you, you know whatever attractions you've got about anything, you're going to have them the rest of your life. Now, if you're guilty of any of these sins, Saddleback's your church, because we're all forgiven sinners. Okay? We are all forgiven sinners. All right? So, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. You can find forgiveness here. There's the sanctity of life. There's the sanctity of sex. And there, a third one, this one's most controversial of all right now. It is the sanctity of marriage. And the Bible is very clear about marriage. One man and one woman for life. That is God's intended original design. He even made the body parts to fit together, and they have a purpose in fitting together. One man and one woman for life. That's God's intended design. You say, but Rick, what about all the polygamy in the Bible? I mean, there were guys in the Bible that had multiple wives. Listen very closely to me. I talked about this in 40 Days in the Word, Bible interpretation. Not everything the Bible reports, the Bible approves. Not everything reported in the Bible is affirmed in the Bible by God. If you take this book and you say, Holy Bible, it's amazing it's called holy. It's harder to find a book that's got more violence, more incest, rape, molestation, murder, jealousy, greed, violence. Why do we call it the Holy Bible? Because this one tells the truth. If this were a human book, it wouldn't tell all the warts and flaws of the heroes. It'd just give biographies about all their good things they did, their great exploits. But the Bible, when it talks about Abraham and Moses and David, it tells us all their weaknesses. Go, you know what? They blew it just as much as we do. They make as many mistakes. Their families were as messed up as ours are. And they had as many problems and addictions as everybody else. It tells the truth. The Bible gives examples. There's examples of scripture where people had slaves. And yet the Bible is clearly against slavery all the way back in the very first books of the Bible. And Jesus repeats them and says, I came to abolish, to eliminate slavery, to release the oppressed. And so just because you read something in the Bible of violence or some sexual deviation or something else, doesn't mean the Bible approves it. It's just reporting the brokenness of humanity. Now here's what God says about marriage. Matthew 19. Jesus said, from the beginning, in other words, from the very beginning of creation, the Creator made male and female. This is the reason a man is to leave his father and mother, and be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh, physically, spiritually, emotionally. And they are no longer two, but one. And therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
The Bible says children are a gift from the Lord. Do you have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, or kids in your neighborhood that need to know God loves them and has a good plan for their lives? You can help them get closer to God by encouraging them to read His Word. That's why we're so excited to tell you about a very special resource just for kids called God's Big Plans for Me. It's a storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. This 223-page hardcover children's book includes 40 well-loved Bible stories to help kids engage with God's Word. Each Bible story has an introduction from Pastor Rick that helps young readers understand the Word of God and has a closing thought with a practical step boys and girls can take to discover God's big plans for them. Their eyes will light up as they turn the beautifully illustrated pages and really start to get what God wants to say to their young hearts and minds. God's Big Plans for Me is so much more than just a book filled with cute pictures of Bible characters. It's a fun and effective way to introduce children to God's everlasting truth. This book makes a great gift. You'll want to get a copy for every child in your life. And today, when you give a gift to help Pastor Rick's Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus Christ around the world, we'll send you a copy of God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible to say thanks. To get your copy of this great resource, just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to get yours. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. There's only 3 days left to get God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible, so don't wait.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
Jesus said, from the beginning, in other words, from the very beginning of creation, the Creator made male and female. This is the reason a man is to leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh, physically, spiritually, emotionally. And they are no longer two, but one. And therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. You know, there are many issues in life where people of goodwill can disagree. There's no health care plan in the Bible, so people of Christians can disagree on that. There's no defense plan in the Bible, so Christians can disagree on that. There's no economic recovery plan in the Bible, so Christians can disagree on this. But on the sanctity of life and the sanctity of marriage and the sanctity of sex, these are non-negotiable. If you call yourself a Christian, you need to line up with what God says is the original intent of all three of these things. And you not only need that, you need to have the courage to stand for it. These are clear and they're non-negotiable. You say, who says? God says. Not me, God says. Now, let's close and let me give you sum up how to live with courage. How do I live with uncommon courage? There are two things you need to do to live with uncommon courage, all right? Number one, I need to accept God's word as my authority. I need to accept God's word as my authority. Why? Because it's the only source that will never lie to you. It will always tell you the truth. Even when I don't like it, it tells me the truth. The truth will set you free. It makes you miserable, but it eventually sets you free. Somebody said, Rick, you're stuck up. I don't want to hear that, but if I need to be humble, I need to hear somebody say, you're stuck up first. Okay, so first the truth makes you miserable, then it sets you free. Okay. Some of you are miserable right now. Just admit it, okay? All right. Here's the point. If you're going to have courage in life, you're going to be a person of courage, a woman of courage, you're going to be a man of courage, you need to build your life on a rock that never changes. If you build your life on the opinions of others, on popular opinion, you're going to frequently have the ground pulled out from underneath you. That gives you no stability and no courage. But if you build your life on God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Then you're going to build your life on the Word of God. God said it, I believe it, whether I understand it or not. Hebrews 6, verse 18. God has given us both His promise and His oath. Now God says, I'm keeping my oath. And these two things are unchangeable. See, truth never changes. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. God will never lie to you. That's why you need to hear what He says about marriage and sex and these other things. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can take new courage. Circle the word courage. For we can hold on to His promise with confidence. Where do I get courage? By building my life on truth that doesn't change. Again, you will build your life either on the world or the Word. You're going to build your life on what the world says, what's popular, what's politically correct, or you're going to build your life on the Word. Now, a lot of things, when you say stuff, it's unpopular. You say, Rick, why do you say stuff that's unpopular? Because I fear God's disapproval more than yours. I only got to live with you for 60, 80 years. But I'm going to be in eternity for heaven, and I don't want to be ashamed and embarrassed that I wimped out and I denied Christ. I have been in the hot seat more than any of you, I'm sure, on a public level. Because as I'm on these interview things like Larry King and the Today Show and Good Morning America and Oprah Winfrey, and they'll ask me questions about these controversial issues, I want to be like you. I want people to like me. And every bone in my body wants to compromise and not say the truth. But I fear God's disapproval more than I do public disapproval. So I'm going to tell the truth. Second thing, you're going to like this one. How do I develop more courage? Spend personal time with Jesus. The more time you spend with Jesus, the less you're going to be intimidated by the opinions of others. And the more time you spend with Jesus, the less other people's disagreements are going to matter to you. Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, these were uncommonly courageous men. This is the city council who said, we're going to kill you, we're going to threaten you, we're going to put you in jail if you keep talking about Jesus. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they could see that they were unschooled, ordinary men, none of the disciples had advanced degrees. They didn't have PhDs, they didn't have college degrees, they didn't have high school, they didn't have grade school degrees. These were just common fishermen. They said, how can these people who are uneducated, but they have such enormous courage? It says they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Circle that, been with Jesus. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more courage you're going to have. And when you spend time with Jesus, you pray and you talk to Him. And in Acts 4:31, after they had prayed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke God's word without fear. I love it. The Amplified says they spoke God's word with freedom and boldness and courage. Now, what I've talked to you about this weekend isn't easy. Standing courageously in an unpopular opinion is not easy to do, but the rewards of it are enormous. The rewards of standing courageously for the truth will last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and not millions, but trillions of years. The last verse on your outline says this, do not lose your courage because it brings a great reward. That reward is far greater than any disapproval you might have to put up with. Let's bow our heads. Father, I look out on our church family and I see people that I love and I want them to be uncommonly courageous. I want them to be people of the Word, not people of the world, who've built their lives on truth, not on popular opinion. Now you pray. God, I want to be a person of courage. I want to be a man of courage. I want to be a woman of courage. I don't want to back down, wimp out. I don't want to deny you. I don't want other people to control what I say or think. And I want to build my life on a biblical, God's worldview, truth. So I make these two commitments today. First, Jesus Christ, I accept your word as my authority. If you say it, I believe it. That settles it, whether I understand it or not. And you will be my number one authority, your word. And second, Lord, I want to spend time with you every day. I want to get to know you, Jesus, on a personal basis. I want to be able to walk into a store or into a business and be so full of joy and so full of confidence that people go, that guy's been with Jesus. I want people to notice it in my countenance, in my face, in my life. Not that I'm super educated, not that I'm super wealthy, not that I'm super beautiful. I want them to notice that I've been with Jesus, that I have been with you. I ask you to help me to be fearless for the truth. In your name I pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, the Bible says children are a gift from the Lord. Do you have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, or kids in your neighborhood that need to know God loves them and has a good plan for their lives? You can help them get closer to God by encouraging them to read God's Word. That's why we're so excited to tell you about a very special resource just for kids called God's Big Plans for Me. It's a storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
In Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." How do we bring children to Jesus? Well, the best way is to read the Bible with them. You know, when my kids were growing up, I could always see their excitement about Jesus grow every time we read stories from the Bible together. Now, I see that same excitement when I read the Bible with my grandchildren. I love teaching them at such an early age that God created them for a purpose, that they are not an accident, that they matter to God, and that He has a special plan for their lives. So I'm excited to tell you that I've teamed up with a very gifted children's illustrator to prepare a new Bible for children. It's called God's Big Plans for Me, Storybook Bible. Your kids will learn from God's Word in ways that are easy to understand. And long after they learn to read on their own, this storybook Bible is going to keep on encouraging them to trust in God's promises. The God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible contains 40 well-loved Bible stories that will help your kids learn how to apply God's Word to their lives. Each story is beautifully illustrated. It's incredible. And includes an introduction from me that encourages them to discover God's great purpose for them. It's fun, it's effective, it's entertaining, it's challenging, it's captivating. It's a great way to introduce children to God's eternal truths. Now, I'll send you this Bible for Children, God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible, just as a way of saying thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope today. We depend on your gifts. I want you to have this as my thank you gift to you. I hope you'll get a copy for all the children in your life, your kids, your grandchildren, nieces, nephews, even children you know in your neighborhood. They'll all love this. We've had nothing but 100% great feedback from people who've seen the God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible.
To get your copy of this great resource, just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to get yours. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. There's only 3 days left to get God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible, so don't wait. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.